Welcome to the Parent Advocate Podcast, a show where we celebrate, defend, support, and uplift the voices of the LGBTQI community. I'm your host, Steve Chikumba. My pronouns are he, him, and his, and I'm joined by my always amazing co-host, Lisette Trujillo.
Hey, everyone. Lisette here, she, her, Aya. The mission of the Parent Advocate Podcast is to elevate conversations and reframe narratives around trans and non-binary youth to help change hearts and minds. Each week, we bring you our take on all things happening from the perspective of two parents of BIPOC children.
Lisette, we are going to have a great show today.
I'm so excited, Stephen. We've got mother sister Nadine Herring joining us today.
Yes. So welcome everyone once again to the Parent Advocate Podcast. Let's get started.
Let's do this.
Set. What's been going on? I know it's only been a week, but you need to catch me up.
Well, oh my gosh. There's been so much. There's been lots of galas. So I've had to get dressed up more than once this week, which is kind of exciting and fun. Daniel went to prom again on Friday, but this time he's dating someone. And so this time he went with his boyfriend. So yes, that face. That's the same face Jose made. That's the same face Jose made. I have to fill you in. I've already taken them. I took them on a date to the fair.
Nice.
It's all very sweet. My mom hung out with me. We made sure to stay far away from where they were going to be hanging out. Because, you know, Dana hasn't started driving yet. Oh my gosh. Jose and I watched the movie Civil War. Have you watched it yet?
I haven't watched it because I'm like, I don't want to see how crazy these white people be and all the ideas this damn movie is going to give them on how to handle their business when the end of the world comes.
Well, I mean, I feel like all the Trumpers that were in there that watched it with us were sad when they left. So, okay, you know.
That's good. That is positive.
They kind of walked out like,
January 6th, dum-dums going to jail and feeling like, what happened?
I don't want to give spoilers. It's worth watching in the movie theater.
Fair.
And then we'll have to debrief after you watch it.
Fair.
Let's see. Another really important thing. On Wednesday, we had the first ever Youth Day at the Capitol. One of our previous guests, Melanie Willingham-Jaggers, the ED of GLSEN, was there and spoke. And there was a youth panel and Representative Lorena Austin and Melanie both led that. The kids were recognized on the House floor. And then another Republican state representative recognized and announced the guy that runs Gays Against Groomers right after us. But obviously we dominated the gallery and we were like, yay. A lot of the parents that were there had no idea what Gays Against Groomers were. So they were like, I'm so confused by what this guy does. All in all, I think the faces of like joy and like confidence that all the kids had, we had 30 kids with their families. One GSA was there. It was really cool to see. It made me feel like so happy for them. And Daniel was like, you know, we're normally debated here and it's great to see us reflected instead and like celebrated. It was a good day. On the same day, the Senate passed the repeal of the 1864 abortion ban and it was signed into law on Thursday. So it was a really important win for Arizona Repro Rights. So that's what we've been up to. What have you been up to? What have you got going on?
So once again, I'll have to admit that my week was nowhere near as exciting as yours, but I'm going to give it a go. So last weekend, I attended the Newark LGBTQIA Film Festival, and I sat on a panel after a screening of two films, the short film Pacemaker, which is an animated musical short, which was great, and then Our Son with Billy Porter, which was also very good, a movie that if you haven't seen, I would highly recommend, which is about two gay men who get a divorce and have to figure out how to co-parent in the midst of what is invariably a very difficult situation. So great film. Afterwards, we talked about what it was to be a parent of a non-binary or transgender child, parents raising children or supporting children through difficult times. So it was a very interesting conversation. I was up there with a future guest, Marta, who will be on our show next week. So I'm looking forward to that conversation with her, as well as Lee Means from the Family Equality Org, as well as the writer of the film, Our Son. So it was a pretty power-packed session, and I really enjoyed the conversation that we had. What else? I got another section of my right leg sleeve added. I have a mountain range and a sun, and now I have a moon on the opposite leg and some waves crashing up my leg. My outline is finished, and And I will be going, my next session will be to start doing all the shading. So excited. Cannot wait to have these leg sleeves done.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I got a tattoo too.
What'd
But
you get?
mine is silly. It's on the back of my left arm, but I got the Powerpuff Girls sleeping on a cloud. And here's why, because everyone always makes fun of me and says that I'm the angry Powerpuff Girl, you know? And so like all the cartoons, all the like images you see is her being angry. And I found one of them just like resting on a cloud, because I hope after all this shit is over, we get some recharge time. So put it on the back of my arm as a reminder that I deserve some rest and softness in my life and not just anger.
That is super sweet. And I'm here for it. I'm here for tattoos all day, every day. I got an email the other day from Hobbs's medical providers advising me that in 2 months he will be a young adult and no longer will I be able to access his medical information. And it was a startling email to receive, to recognize that yet another one of my children is arriving at the age of independence. And it was a little unnerving as well, because as the person who has been on the front lines of all of his health care, to know that I have to give up the reins to him, it's a lot. It's a lot. And I know he's ready for it. We've had these conversations and he can always give me access to his information if he wants it. But I was reminded that these children eventually leave the nest and we have to prepare them to do so. It's just a scary thing. It was one of those things that had me kind of taking a knee and reflecting on what it is to be raising a trans child and how I didn't have this same kind of
Fear.
around Asha or Chima when I got a similar email, because this is not the first child that I've been taking care of their medical issues for that became an adult and had to take responsibility for their medical stuff. This is the first one that just gave me those kinds of feelings.
I'm sorry, I don't want that email, but it's not too far away.
It's not too
It's not too far
crazy.
away.
And you know, again, it was good in as much as I know that he'll be fine. It was just a lot. It was like a punch in the stomach, really, that I wasn't expecting. And it was a reminder that, you know, hey, you gotta get them ready because this day will come. But
Yeah, for sure.
with that, we could talk all day. We gotta get to today's topics.
Let's do it.
So, the United Methodist Church recently ended its ban on LGBTQ+ clergy serving in the church. The church overturned its 40-year ban on gay clergy Wednesday during a meeting of the church's top legislative body in Charlotte, North Carolina. The church had maintained a ban on clergy members who were self-avowed practicing homosexuals, quote-unquote, since 1984, and later added performing or celebrating same-sex unions to a list of chargeable offenses that could result in a church trial.
I mean, listen, I'm so glad that this ban was lifted and that the United Methodist Church is trying to become more inclusive. I know it's so important for people of faith who belong to this church to feel recognized and welcome. And I hope that this change reverberates across other religious institutions, although I doubt that it will.
But it's a step in the right direction. So I am happy for everyone who subscribes to the Methodist faith for
Yeah.
their ability to now have LGBTQ plus clergy serving in church roles.
For sure. In other news, Arkansas sued over new restrictions on driver's license gender markers. Transgender, non-binary, and intersex Arkansans are suing the state over a new policy that makes it nearly impossible to change the gender marker on driver's licenses and prohibits the non-binary X marker. In March, the Arkansas Department of Finance and Administration put in an emergency rule that requires an amended birth certificate to change the marker and eliminate the X option.
You know, I am glad that these citizens are suing, because this rule, it's not safeguarding anybody. It's compromising the safety, mental health, and ability of LGBTQ plus folks in Arkansas to participate fully in society. So I hope they win their suit and regain the ability to change their gender markers on their birth certificates and driver's licenses.
Yep.
Earlier this month, we learned about the death of River Nevaeh Goddard, a 17-year-old trans non-binary person who was killed by their 20-year-old boyfriend, Shane Curry, in Stowe, Massachusetts. And there was an article I had read in some right-wing publication that tried to say that the LGBTQ plus community was going to politicize their death because they were were not killed because they were trans, but for a myriad of other reasons that had nothing to do with their gender identity. And what was so interesting about this article was they went on to talk about the fact that River was given up by her biological parents, shuffled around from foster home to foster home, ran away, and was missing from her last foster home for over 2 years before being found murdered in the home of Shane Curry. And with all of that, being killed by a person that was not related to them, living with a person who was not related to them for the past 2 years when they were 15, who had multiple domestic violence complaints against them, that none of those circumstances or fact had anything to do with them being a trans person or a person of trans identity. It was infuriating.
Even the lengths that hateful people will go to justify violence against trans and non-binary people is disgusting. It's disgusting. And the fact that some people will read this article and be like, oh, rational, makes rational sense. Like, no one is deserving of violence. No one deserves to be murdered. And so, like, no, there's no response. There's no justification. There's no rationale.
It's the same thing they did after Next Benedict was killed. They came
Yes.
all kinds of reasons why this child was no longer alive that had nothing to do with their trans identity. They weren't bullied because they were trans. They didn't die because they were trans. They started the fight. All of these other things except their trans identity. And it's like, yeah, we don't want to focus on any of these kids' trans identities, but unfortunately, y'all have put a target on their backs, making it impossible for it not to be a consideration when one of them dies. Just stop it.
Exactly. Stop it. If you have to think of reasons why something awful is okay, you're a fucked up person.
You're a fucked up person.
Republican led states are suing the Biden administration over new Title IX regulations that add protections for transgender students, setting up a legal battle with the White House over enforcement of the decade-old civil rights law and increasing the likelihood that the measures will be blocked in court before taking effect this summer. The Education Department last month unveiled the final set of sweeping changes to Title IX, which prohibits sex discrimination in schools and education programs that receive government funding. After more than a year in delays, the new regulations, slated to take effect August 1st, also cover discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. The 15 states who sued the department last week in four federal lawsuits argue that the new regulations are plainly illegal and undermine protections meant for cisgender students. The regulations would also prevent states from enforcing laws that bar transgender student athletes from competing on sports teams consistent with their gender identity, the suit argues, though the administration has yet to finalize a separate proposal governing athletic eligibility.
What's so interesting about opponents for equality for all is that they'll say this law should only be applicable to cisgender athletes and students, as if transgender athletes and students shouldn't have rights and protections. Instead of Title IX covering all students, all student athletes, this lawsuit says we just wanted to cover cisgender student athletes. Now, do you not see how that's wrong? Do you not see the problem that exists when you say, hey, certain group of people with specific identities, you can't have these protections. These are only meant for these people over here and not you. It is fundamentally flawed. Your reasoning, your arguments, your logic is fundamentally flawed, but they cannot and will not see it.
I just love how they were like, these laws are meant for cis students. Like, what world are we in?
Child, enough of this. Let's get to our guest, who I'm sure can help us shed some light on why educational systems are fucked up.
I'm so ready. Let's do it.
Nadine Mother Sister Herring is a self-described unlearner and unapologetic mother and loudmouth for Black trans youth. Nadine was an educator for 30 years who attended Spelman College, where she earned a BA in English and an MA in English with a certification in secondary education at Teachers College, Columbia University. Several years ago, one of her three sons invited her into his identity and caused her to have an aha moment that she wasn't doing what she was intended to do. Nadine walked away from her career as an educator to found Black Noise LLC and is now loudly celebrating, protecting, affirming, and prioritizing the fight for the rights of transgender youth. Nadine currently partners with the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and the Bryson Institute at the Attic Youth Center, where she works to enrich and strengthen the lives of trans and queer youth. Everyone, please welcome Nadine Mother Sister Herring to our show.
I'm so excited we finally have you on the podcast.
I am so glad to be here with two people I respect highly. And Lizette, you are my sister since the first time we met. I need you to know that.
So, folks, for those of you who do not know, we are three parents of transgender youth who have shared so many spaces together that this is probably going to be the least formal podcast you will ever listen to because this is just going to be us kikiing with each other. We have some questions that we've got formed, but for the most part, we're just going to be talking. So I hope you're all ready for it because we certainly are. So I do have one actual question. Why black noise?
I'm glad you asked. Well, first of all, the blackness is beautiful. I don't care what this world says. So I got to celebrate that. Had to do it a different way because I'm different. It's BLAQ. The noise, which is what I'm most proud of, is an acronym for the names of all my children. And together, they brought much noise all my life. I just now am welcoming the meaning of all that noise that I've been hearing all of, well, most of my life. So that's where that comes from.
So what does black noise do?
So black noise is the instrument to get into people's businesses, minds, talk to doctors. I mean, basically, it is my mouthpiece to get into spaces that need to recognize, no matter what you thought, you got some queer people, you got some trans people, you got some gender expansive people in your midst, and you're probably doing a great disservice by them. And it also umbrellas my children's book, Life According to Z. So there's a lot going on underneath that umbrella.
I think what's really, really important and like necessary for people to hear about your story was the fact that you lived in blue, quote unquote, blue state, where there were protections in place in some of those states, and you experienced severe discrimination and violence. And often what we've heard, especially in this last year, when we talk about refugee families, right? That quote unquote, what they're saying, families from the South or from Texas who are fleeing from their state, which we know historically is not new when it comes to communities of color. But you experienced violence and displacement, even in cities that are seen as progressive. Will you share that part of your journey? Because that isn't always the fix, but people always talk about it as if it's an easy fix. Can you share that with us?
Sure. I was also surprised as well. But, as they say, a law is as good as it is enacted, right? And there could be a whole consortium of an idea, but that does not mean that the people who live there understand, support, ever heard of it, and follow through. And so, first of all, when my son came to me and said, "Yo, this is what's up, you all got it wrong," I had nowhere to go. I was surprised that even doctors never heard of what I was going through because when I first was introduced to it, I didn't even have a name. I didn't know about transgender till at least 2 years after my son told me who he is. So we didn't have the vocabulary. So then when you start to explain and learn, you realize that people are very resistant to that. That does not look like them, feel like them, look like them. And so to flee two states and still receive the same nonsense is beyond minimizing. It's like, what else can I do? I'm doing everything in my power. I will say that now where I live, for the past going on 4 years, was a gift I did not see. But the craziest thing is while overall the safety of my child in school, we still have to deal with racism, heightened racism, because the people who say or share the experience of having a trans child, you throw some race up in it, you throw some class up in it, honey, please, you are definitely stranger than the night. I am not going for you. I am not defending you. You are different. All we got is this child thing. And even then, you are more important than my child. So there lies the challenge. So it continues to be very, very difficult. And, the infighting that I see in terms of who's trans is higher, better, different, smells better, looks better for the public is really mind-blowing. Because either you end this fight for the right thing or you're not. And so that's why I no longer have a fear I did at first in aligning myself with Black and Brown. Because whatever the stats are overall for our trans divine children, trust me, it's 10 times worse when you put Black and Brown on it.
So let's dig into that a little bit because you and I have sat on a number of panels specifically around the experience experiences of BIPOC, Black and Brown people specifically, when it comes to raising our children. And there are marked differences between the way our children experience life and non-Black and Brown, trans or non-binary youth and their families experience life. And we are very clear that those differences often result in harm. How have you kind of navigated this world, knowing that our children are much more likely to experience harm, discrimination, harassment, bullying, and then all the other associated mental health issues that come along with it?
Well, first, you got to have the gall to stand up and say, we're not doing this. Like you introduced me, I left my career. It wasn't like it was the easiest thing to do, but I got tired of listening to the same thing, having to bite my lip as a Black proud woman and a Black proud woman proud of mothering a Black trans child who also happens to be male, right? And so I sought different areas where I felt at home. And I'm not just an ally. Like, I'm a co-conspirator. Like, I used to go by mother, sister only. But now it's like, yo, I'm Nadine Herring. Say what you will, but I'm going to be the first to say, you know what? We're going to not even agree to disagree. You just straight out wrong. Because most of my opponents, unfortunately, like, I expect what I expect from Karens and Kens. But when it comes to people that we have familiarity of seeing each other, knowing somewhat of what we walk through, and then you basically dismiss me, curse me, hurt my child on purpose just because of something that you do not understand at all, have never had a conversation. I just got to be louder. You know, Stephen, it gets really, really sad when I go into Black and Brown audiences as a speaker or facilitator versus white audiences, and the reception is somewhat sometimes the same. But unfortunately, it hurts me more because what the hell are you so scared of? You know, my child still has to go through the shit your child has to go through. And so I just got to have a raised voice. Like, you're not going to talk me down. You know, you're not going to basically minimize me because, oh, I happen to have a child. Well, no, let me put it like this. I have a transgender child. Let me make sure this is very, very clear. My child has more going on, and transgender may be number 100 out of 200 descriptions. So let's get with it. And it ain't none of your damn business because my child's still trying to do the same thing your child is doing. And as long as we have this going on, once again, there's no progression because our Black children are still killing themselves. Our Black children are still loners in the classroom, outside the classroom. For what reason? For something that most of the time you cannot even see or understand. Because, you know, that bleeds into what my son receives. He knows that he's not wanted, doesn't quite understand the why. Because I don't rear him as when we go out, it's transgender, queer, queer, queer. No, yo, you're a human being. You have dreams. You have things you want to do. Let's go do that. And I mean, look, I don't even talk to some of my family because of this. So that's as far, I mean, I will go at lengths to make sure that my child is protected. So just because we have some blood in common, that is not even enough when you can't even have a sit down to understand facts versus fiction. I mean, you got a big mouth too, Stephen. So you already know what you got to do, right? Okay. I've heard you.
She just called you out.
But it's okay. It's good. We got to have big mouths because, you know, I'm not going to deal with small minded people trying to get louder than me. You're not going to get louder than me.
No. And I think, like, that's the thing that we've all shared in this space here is like this loss of family and like, how do you bring them along? Yes. Or not bring them along?
Yes.
How do you, and when we're talking about family, it's not just family. What makes me angry? So Nadine and I did a panel and it was bombed by somebody in the chat.
Yes.
And I was like, hold on one sec. Yes. I'm gonna go get the accurate information. What that person is saying in the chat is not correct. So like, yeah. Nadine and I were livid. Nadine was like, this is not okay. So we like shut it down. I think that's what's really frustrating is that you have people actively misinforming Black and Brown communities, parent communities, but the money that's being funneled to misinform Black and Brown communities is, I mean, in October of election year 2 years ago, it was $500,000 in my state alone. right? So like, why are they funding so much money to misinform our own communities? And it's because they know it's that divide and conquer. What do you think is the most compelling way that you have been able to connect within community to help bring them forward in this moment to understand that our children's rights are tied to the larger movement? What have you found works when you are educating and advocating for your son and all of our youth?
Well, you know, I do think that we have a great benefit because we're parents, right? I'm not just talking about some children. We are living this fight, and there is no we're off today. And then, you know, 30 plus years of teaching, and to me, we're still teaching, right? I come in from that standpoint, like, you know, just have a sit down, you know, let's just talk. I don't want to go into all these, you know, yeah, I know we have resources, but let's just sit down and talk. What frightens you? And I mean, I did this as a teacher and a principal, because you got to get, you know, sometimes you got to really meet people where they are. And it doesn't take long. You already know, Lizette and Stephen, that when someone is not willing, I'm not going to go into capable, right? If they're not even willing to have a conversation, you can't save everybody. But what I will always tell people, which I make sure is heard in every facilitation I do, what they don't tell you is that children are dying. Why should a child be told every single waking minute of their day that they are nothing? Could you stand this? If everywhere you went, there's a post, a quote, someone bullying you, you're in school, you're called the wrong name every day. Could you withstand that? Like, talk to me. And I'm talking about we're sitting down. I'm not going to raise my voice. We're going to talk as parents. What do you want for your child? I want the same thing. What does what we're talking about, or what I'm trying to get you to have some more information on, what does it have to do with the larger scheme of happiness and well-being? Please tell me, because nothing that you've been told is true. Let me give you some truth about my experience, because no, when my six-year-old first told me, I wasn't just, yeah, hey, let's go do this. I have reservations too. Now, what are you talking about? I was also learning the wrong thing. You know, oh, you know, you're just a tomboy like I was. You'll get over it. I didn't want to wear dresses either. You tripping right now. You'll get over that. So I own my own stuff. And then I talked about how I followed my child who became my teacher, and I unlearned so much shit that has made me much better. And sometimes you can't talk to a group of people because, you know, you still got your people and the voices. So one by one, I get instrumental people. And there's just some people, you know what? You good over on that side anyway. You're not going to do us any justice. And I also embrace that. We all can't be on the same because, you know, it don't work like that in life. So my parenting and my teaching have been a gift together. I cannot take those hats off. And when you're having a conversation with me, which most people do not, you've already knocked out at least three of your daggone hurdles.
So I want to actually dig in on something that you said that I've heard you say before, and I think it's important for us to really double click on for our audience. And that is, your son became your teacher. So many parents arrive at that aha moment that you had, where you realize that you don't know everything. And it's not to say, as many of the detractors of parents of trans and non-binary youth would have you believe, it's not that we are allowing our children to make decisions for themselves as if they're adults. That's just foolish. Mm-hmm. But it is that we believe our children when they talk to us, especially as it comes down to gender expression and gender identity, things that cisgender people didn't have to contend with. So it's impossible for a person who does not or has not ever experienced gender dysphoria to talk intelligently about gender dysphoria. And even if you're a parent of a child experiencing it, it doesn't mean that you know more than your child. So talk to us about allowing your child to be your teacher.
Well, you know, Stephen, when my child first came to me, or we understood, okay, this is not just about clothes don't fit comfortably, right? I realized that my reaction, not response, to my child telling me, this is what I am going through. I said, oh my God, how, like, the hurt and shrinkage that I did to my child. I'm like, nah, I can't do that. The bigger awakening that becomes clearer and clearer. I remember when I wanted to just experiment. I questioned, who am I? I remember during puberty, being with the guys or being with my girlfriends or going to college, when there were certain things I was questioning, but I was taught, you are not to answer that in the way that does not go outside the way you were reared. So that is when I realized, okay, you got to listen more than you are heeding what you were taught, because you were taught to be in a box and do what other people have set the mold for you to do, which I feel, and I'm going to always stick to this, is the larger problem of all this, these lies being spewed. See, y'all old asses are upset now that when you had the opportunity to experiment, to, you know what, I do kind of like that person. You know, I don't like what mom and dad made me wear to this event. I'm feeling this way, but the expression is not allowed. And you are pissed off now that these young whippersnappers are doing what the hell they want to do at their time without your permission, okay? Or that you're not on board. That is the real problem. You see, now it's too late for you, which ain't never too late, because I can be that straight ass black woman who loves her men, right? But next year, if I'm doing something different, I'm still going to be mother sister. And people don't realize that. And so when I saw the hurt on my child and I just sat, which was difficult as a teacher at that time, 20 plus years, to be told what you never ever thought was mind blowing. And I just had to shut my damn mouth, because, you know, my little cis hetero garbage comes out every now and then, even when my child wanted to change their name. But I created that name. How dare you? Like, listen to what I did in the research. And my child shut me up respectfully with two sentences. Mom, this is what I want. It's about me being whole. Well, what the? Shut your damn mouth.
Shut your damn mouth.
Hell yeah.
Mouth.
You've said a few things that I think are so key. Like when I'm supporting families, the one thing that I always tell them is it's a different way of parenting, right? Like, we grew up in permission-based parenting where our parents gave us permission to be whoever they said they were going to be. And what our children are doing is a new type of parenting where we are being invited in to meet them and get to know them as they unravel who they are over time, right? Yes. And so I think that that's like, it's okay for us to fuck up because we were taught a certain way, right? And we were taught that parenting looked a certain way. But I too feel like the gift of the lessons Daniel has brought into my life has expanded me as a human being. And I think another thing that you just said there too, that a lot of parents are afraid, like parent communities, when I sit in them and facilitate in those spaces, the hardest thing for them is to accept responsibility. And I think that the most loving thing to do is to say, no, like, that was unloving of me to not be there. I think about my 7, 8, well, he began social transition at 8, but like my 7-year-old with high levels of anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you meet Daniel today, you meet a very confident person, but he had nervous tic. He had high levels of anxiety. He would come home crying and was sad all the time and looked like someone who had no personality. I was like, who is hurting you? And it was me, right? Like, I was like, what is going on? And that has been the hardest thing, I think, in parent communities, to do that self-aware look inwards of, that was unloving of me. It's okay for us to admit that. In not affirming you, that was a disservice, and it manifested in all of these ways, because I'm hearing you. And I also just have to say, when you said your son said, I want to be whole, I was sitting in a conference a couple weeks ago. There was a professor, his name is Darius, I can't remember his last name, but a queer professor. He gave this beautiful presentation, and at the end of it, he said, fuck hope, I want to feel whole. I want to feel whole in every space that I am in, right? So as we lay out, what does it mean to love, affirm, to build wholeness and confidence in our children? What are three practical ways that parents can do that?
Well, number one, you have to trust trust your child in a way that this world has taught us we cannot trust children, right? Like you said before, I am from the age and the teachings of be seen, not heard. I am told that parents know best, adults know best, you know nothing. And that is so untrue. And like you said, Lizette, when I finally saw Zion, when I really, really showed up to support, I didn't know who my child was until I let him be free for him. So the first haircut, I still remember crying because I did not recognize my child. It wasn't physical only. It was, look at this glow, but I've been forcing you to keep hair because I love your hair long and its richness. But the richness was always there, but it was being masked by what I determined is acceptable. So number one is to trust your child. Like, trust me. Yeah, we all make mistakes, but why is it when children make a mistake, it's a blow up? So like Stephen said earlier, no, we didn't say that you parent yourself. What we are saying, what I am saying is I trusted Z to do what he saw fit to satisfy his soul and to enjoy that ride with your child because you're about to get an education you ain't never had that any adult in your life has given you. And I'm happier seeing my child happier. And I worry less. I know it seems crazy, but I worry less because he has it together. Every time I overworried, you cannot play sports. You cannot play this. No, you can't do that. No, you can't go over there. He always worked it out. I had to just shut up. Like I'm assuming you are not a thoughtful person because you're smaller than me, because your number of an age is less than mine. He had it all together. You know, third, you ain't got to impress nobody. That's your child. I don't know why your child came to be, but that child is here. And I don't care what the identity is. I was so distressed because I already had three boys. So I had to have my mini me. I had to have little Nadine. Nadine is already here. So I had to let that child be that child. And that child brought me more joy, but that child, regardless what the doctor said, the name that I researched and I had to get the meaning right, that child was always there. I just didn't know it because I was too busy doing other stuff. So enjoy the fullness of your child being themselves, not what you have recreated. Like, I'm going to help you with the edges, but baby, you rolling through on that road wonderfully, and you celebrate your child. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we've been going through this for a long time, but do I know exactly what it means to be Zion? No, I don't. But you know what? It don't matter because he's happy, well adjusted. Does he have his bad days? Yeah, like any damn child. But because I listen to him, I cannot explain how our relationship blossomed more than I ever thought it could. Because I had to recognize my child is still my child. Ain't nothing changed. He just finally told me, yo, this is who I am. Include my name. Are you down or you're not, mom? Of course I'm down. Because had I not been, when I finally woke up and said, yo, you are the student, I don't think my child would be here because he has some of the same things you described, Lizette. I just was not recognizing it. Like, what is wrong with you? No. There's nothing wrong with him. There was something wrong with me.
Like, this is so good. This is so good. and it's interesting because as parents, especially parents of trans and non-binary children, we operate under this fallacy that we are trying to protect our children. There is this logic of protection that we live by. In fact, Lisette sent me an article like last weekend about this that Jules Gill Peterson wrote, mm-hmm. that kind of really unpacked the way we parents think we are protecting our children when we're in fact protecting ourselves. We're protecting ourselves the way we learned to parent, the way we learned about how society is going to treat our children, specifically as Black and Brown people.
Yes.
Like, you go back to, you know, slavery times and colonialism, we have this concept of protection that's informed by all the things that are happening, and not really at its core, it's not really about our children. It's about our own fears that we are now imposing on our children, as opposed to allowing our children, as you've described, to flourish and thrive. And so I'm interested, because you work at the Attic Youth Center, where you're working with trans and queer youth, are you kind of helping them to navigate life with this logic of protection that's always around them?
No, not in that way. Teachers generally are considered middle class people. Okay. I don't care what pay you get, we're considered middle class. That was very important for me to address, because this is why, especially in rural and sometimes urban areas, I had to remind my teachers, your responsibility is not to make sure that our children don't fall. You need to tell them the rules. You need to make sure and ensure that they understand, yo, you need to do A, B, C, and sometimes jump to Q to make sure you're going to be all right, because I'm not always going to be there. And so the fact that Zion showed me, I'm already thoughtful, mom. I am two steps ahead of you, which most of our children are, because I still don't know how to use my iPhone in its entirety. But the fact that I trust you to lead me right is a total abandonment of how I have been reared. That is non-existent, which I know is part of the problem I have with my so-called ex-friends and family I'm estranged from, because I'm not doing it the way we have been taught. And I'm good that Zion's at the wheel. I'm good with that, because sometimes we need to learn how to be passengers and the car ain't gonna crash. But like you said in the beginning, you know, the colonizer is alive and well and how we rear our children any damn way, because much of the customs and traditions that we have embraced and basically chewed and swallowed, and it nourishes our body the wrong way, is what's getting us in trouble. So that colonization type of mindset that we know better and you got to follow my lead, that is what Black and brown people need to readdress. And also understand, that is why even when you get around, especially me and my white counterparts that are so-called in this struggle, you ain't thinking about me. And I make no mistake of telling them that in every circle I am in, talking to my fellow families, stop it. Because much of what you are thinking is because the colonizer has gotten into your head. Because we've been doing this, baby. That's the first thing I'm not going to tell you. You could do your own research. This ain't nothing new, baby. They want to act like it is. Our indigenous folks revered trans people. Two-spirit people, they are revered because they have a higher understanding that these people will never allow you to touch on. So why would I even repeat the nonsense? So I'm going to make sure, even though Zion is still young, I am so, so damn thankful by his lead, my following, my saying, okay, you know what? I'm going to shut up and you let me know. And then researching off of what you know to help you out and giving you spoonfuls, because he ain't ready for the all real deal. But mom is here to make sure. Don't believe all that hype. You are divine in every sense of the word. And just because even your own blood doesn't recognize that does not make you wrong. But I'm telling you, that colonizing and not knowing about your indigenous for people and for folks is a true endangerment of our children. But I'm here for it, because we can't be doing wrong when my child ain't changed his mind yet, when we are still learning. And I walk now with less fear than I did before, because if you ain't doing nothing wrong, then you know you're gonna reap some damn rewards.
Parenting does feel so much more of like a collaboration, right? Like there's obviously, I think Stephen and you both bring up like believe and trust our children, and so much because Daniel was so young, right? Like so much of it, I had to go and learn. I had to go immerse myself with trans people. I had to, you know, build relationships of trust where I was trusted in spaces so that I could learn what Dan, like now Daniel got in the car the other day and he's like, mom, I heard this. What does this mean? And I'm like, oh, I have the answer. Hold on. Let me tell you. Or we're going to call our good friend because they're going to be able to tell you. There's so much that they do not know, right? Because they're young, they're small people inhabiting a new experience and paving a way forward. And I think what I loved about the logic of protection, I feel like it's necessary reading for every parent of a trans kid. What I loved about it is the framework of this debate around gender affirming care, this debate around trans youth and their existence is not new. Like we have a documented, you know, history of trans youth that takes us to the 1930s, mm-hmm. and people trying to access care in the 50s and 60s. And then then medical providers pathologizing trans people and dictating what does care look like? What does it mean mm-hmm. to inhabit a body and a gender that is incongruent to that, right? And we see our children. And what I think I really valued about that article was this clear delineation in the way we have continued over decades to talk about our trans youth, even as parents, mm-hmm. does not give them the dignity they deserve for being so whole and knowing and understanding in themselves that they're willing to push back even against their own parents. They're willing to experience discrimination. They are willing to be houseless so that they can be whole in themselves and authentically themselves in the world. And so that for me is like, you are a gift that I'm meant to hold like tight until I send you off into the world. I'm supposed to like be the soil that allows you to blossom in this way. And I just feel like, I know that I feel that from you. And I know that you, both of you are those parents. And I wish like we could infuse like Mind Meld it throughout parent networks so that they would just be on it with us. The fact that you are an educator and we are seeing like book bans, we're seeing DEIA being threatened. We all know that it's tethered together. We all know that it's interconnected with like larger white supremacist structures. What are things that parents can do for their youth while navigating schools, regardless of red state, blue state? Like, what do you think are like clear things parents can do to offer support to their children in a moment that feels like their children are so politicized in these school spaces that it might not even be safe to try to advocate for them?
You know, it's a hard question. I have to be real about a parent's comfort. I don't know about your neighbors. I don't know if it's a small town and everybody knows everybody and you still have to go home, and standing up for your child could be a almost like a death watch, right? Because some people are not playing more than a little bit. We were new to where I moved when I left upstate New York. We were new to the area. And I refuse to have my child suffer without you understanding what type of army is behind this child. And sometimes it was just me, because Zion's siblings were also young, but supporting their brother was, please, that was just like, that's what it's going to be. But you have to be willing to stand up, because they have to understand, those people have to understand, this may not be as easily done as I thought that I could. Even a little bit of resistance, like that little pebble in your shoe, bothers the foot. So be that pebble, you know. And I really didn't quite all the way even, you know, answer Stephen's question about what I do with the youth and speak to them about at the Attic Youth Center, because some of them are young adults. But what I love about the children that I see on a day-to-day basis, because I see them every day, they have a joy that is unequal to any hate that could be out there, right? Everyone talks about the negative. I have more joy than a little bit. So all I make sure is to celebrate their joy, validate them with my limited sphere, because the bottom line is they walk this walk. I could study and look at every article and stand and shout all I want. Zion walks this path. I do not. And so I often go and ask opinions. What do you feel about this? Because it matters. And yeah, so what? There may be some differences, which may be big to some in terms of my own identity. But what I will say, the biggest compliment I ever got from everybody in this space is that, Nadine, you just queer. You just don't even fucking know it. I'm like, okay, that's why you ain't found nobody, because you queer. I'm like, you know what? That's it. So when my own family tells me that, because it's my chosen family, I'm like, damn, I made shit hard. So like I said, I came from everything is straight, cis-centered, I'm the shit. Everything's about hetero. And look where I am. I got people that I just met, people that I've known for years saying, yo, girl, stop tripping. You queer. I'm gonna introduce some people. I'm like, okay. So, you know, in this day and age, I'm not going to acknowledge fear all the time. I'm not. I'm walking up into a place. This ain't feeling right. You didn't say the right thing. I'm going to gently correct you. Do you need some help with this? Like, I'm palatable. I don't always do the rah-rah unless it's necessary. But if we can talk and I can make you understand, or like give you another example that you never thought of, because you ain't talked to no queer folks lately. You're talking to your own cis cemented ass people. That's what we got to do. Like, we can't give up. Every battle may not be won, but we're going to win this damn war, because you can't do this, because we ain't going nowhere. And Black and Brown especially, shit, they've been trying to do their thing to us. We still going to do what we got to do. So yes, you know, it's scary. You know, I actually, some people may say, you know, I gave in and did the white flag because I moved. But you know, some things ain't worth my time and energy. And as you are doing your thing, my child's getting older, not want to go to school. No, we ain't going to have that, because he has plans. I did, but that was all Zion. So I'm like, you know what? We're going to put our heads together, and we worked out a way. And that's what you do with your child. So how you want to do this? You know, I ask permission. I still ask, are you okay with this? And then I also show up, because when my child may be silenced, I need you to always understand, come hell or high water, daughter, even in a calm voice, your mom got you. And parents, you can do this even with the softest voice. Ask questions. Look at your handbook. If there's nothing in there but about bullying and it says nothing about gender, sex, like you need to say something because it's not just about you.
I just want to say that I got you is the BIPOC first love language.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, people talk about love languages. Yeah. I got you is a love language onto its own.
Yes. I mean, love deep, that. Deep, deep love is I got you. G-O-T-C-H-U.
Yes, one word. No, dead ass. That is so real and interesting because it is in these spaces where you recognize that that chosen family really shows up for you when you need it. I know that these past few years have been especially difficult. It's like you cannot wake up any day and not see these ridiculous headlines splashed across the news or your Twitter feed or coming up on Apple News, just wherever, of just negative fucked up shit happening. Whether it's the Supreme Court decision or another state passing some heinous, draconian law banning gender-affirming care, or kids being told they can't participate in sports, or worse yet, seeing the life of another young trans person taken for whatever reason, whether it's at their own hands or at the hands of another, it's just terrifying. It can be terrifying. And so knowing that there are people who can, two words, I got you, make you feel better, and to assuage all those fears is really, really important. I want to pivot really quickly because, you know, as an educator for as long as you've been, and you continue to be, you may not be formally wearing the hat of teacher or principal or a school administrator, you're still out here in these streets educating. You're also taking your experience with your child and you've become a publisher of children's books. Can you talk to us about your book publishing foray and how you've taken that hat of an educator and spread that past the boundaries of the schools that you may be teaching at?
Yeah. So, you know, this came about during COVID, which we all know what that was. And everybody was kind of questioning, what the fuck am I doing? And I said that in all caps. What the fuck am I doing? Doing this same shit with these unappreciative, dumbass people. Yes, I did. And I love writing, probably really right close second. Like teaching is below that. And I just said, you know, what am I fucking doing living this life as a lie? And I went to my son and I asked permission. You know, we got a story right here. Because after all, when I was searching for books, mainly about, you know, you had a daughter and now you have a son, they were not there, and definitely not no daggone black children. So I said, what am I going to keep looking? I can make it myself. So we talked about the possible outing. We talked about, okay, what could happen when people find out. And the great thing is that Zion is older than the child that he is in the book. And he does not go with me to book events. He lives his own life because I owe him that. You know, you're not no damn show and tell. That's in the book. And so I wrote the book in one day and I found an illustrator who happened to be at the school that I was a dean at. And I was very surprised because he's very, very religious. But he read my book and he just said, I saw everything that I could draw for you. And, you know, it's hard because even now I will speak very, very bluntly. And I'm not going to lie, when it comes to black bookstores, they want no parts of me because there it goes again. That's a taboo subject. Now, in the first book, I don't even mention transgender, the word nothing. It is Zion being born and how he's going through these almost tomboyish type of gestures and actions, just like his mom did. But I got a call from California, in fact, over Instagram, that some school district had my book and they were talking about banning it. And transgender is not even in it. It's about the growing pains of a child. So it's been very difficult to have it published free or someone else pay for it. I'm being real with it. This was not a cheap endeavor, but still I have a story to tell, or Z has a story to tell. Now the second book, it has the word transgender where he's going through this change. And you know, this book, I made it very clear, mainly to medical professionals, because I've had some stories with their asses. This is meant for you because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. It's not required in your studies to be a doctor. And also it is not meant that a child reads raise this on their own. Read it with your family, because this is what I had to do with my own child. And, you know, I had a little bit of a war. It was very, very small, though, with the book publisher. And it was through Mascot Books, because I was very direct in the name calling of my child when he was six. And I said, let me tell you something. If my child heard it, your child can read it. They know more than you damn think. Now, just because Tommy ain't saying shit in front of you, he's saying it on the bus and on the damn basketball and baseball court. So get out of here. But I got to be honest. So I'm on my third one because I love Zion's story because it's his life. And for those people that don't talk to me anymore because they don't want to, they buying the books. I already know it. But it's okay. You ain't got to talk to me. Go read about it. Thank you for the change. Because regardless, you're not going to silence me. And that is where Zion allowed his mom to find joy and celebrating him. So, you know, no, am I a millionaire off these books? No, not yet. Okay. The New York Times, did they tap into me? No, not yet. But they going to. Okay.
He is 1,000 books. 1,000 books gets you on the New York Times bestseller list, girl. So well, don't sweat that.
So that's how I did it. You know, it was so funny because my so-called people in the other education facilities I worked in, now everybody want to ask questions. Now everybody is curious. But I know that that's not meaning Zion good. That's the nitpicking and also dissecting of those type of children. We're not going to do that. My books are celebratory. And I also bring joy because we already know. We all know. I ain't gonna speak to the choir. We know this damn work is hard. But let me tell you something. I walk around with a fucking smile. You ain't going to knock me down with your bullshit. And I'm not going to let Zion, while he knows these things, that was the only key thing. Because he's about to go to college. That allowed me to let go and let him go to another state. Now, you know, that's some scary shit. Because when he gave me his list junior year, half of them were off. Because you're going to have me kill somebody. Same. So we agree. We still there because some shit happened. I'm driving. But you got to trust the process. And yeah, my heart is always wounded. Never really gets back for every child that had to lose their life. Next, like we could talk about everybody. That shit does not jive with me. And while I hurt so much, that drives me to push so damn much. But I can't live in that type of fear. Oh God, what if it happens to me? We live in here. We living up in here.
So if you had one piece of advice for parents of trans and non-binary youth to experience joy, what would it be?
Yo, let me tell you something. Like I do every day, even though he's a teenager, you go to that child of yours. You look that child in the eye. That's you. You love on that damn child because there ain't no life without your child. That's a joy right there. Ain't nothing going on. We know there's a lot of shit going on in this world, but that boy right there, that's mine right there. That should bring you joy because they still here. Wrap your arms around that.
So Daniel went through like a stinky middle school phase and I was like, damn, I just want you to like take some extra time in the shower so I can hug you. And he was like, I'm so glad I'm past that phase, mom. I was like, I know, me too. Because now I can hug you all the fucking time. But before I was like, oh, this is hard.
Listeners, I want you to understand, I hug Hobbs all the fucking time. I hug all my children, but that advice that you just got, that's pure gold. Hugging your children and letting them know you love them is like, that's manna from heaven. That will like keep your heart full 24/7, 365. So take that advice. Mother, sister, girl.
Thank you.
Drinking and sipping and spilling tea.
I love you too. I love y'all. I hope I can come back because first of all, y'all just give me some energy. I ain't got no afternoon slump no more. Thank you. I love y'all. And peeps listening, this is the motherfucking truth. You ain't heard shit till you been listening to this show.
And also as a bi mama who doesn't openly share it all the time just because we get that indoctrination shit.
Of course.
Welcome to the family.
Ah, Sookie.
Now it's time for our recurring segment, Allies and Assholes, where we highlight individuals or groups that are supporting the LGBTQIA community on the one hand and call out straight up assholes who are trying to move us all backwards on the other. Lisette, who are we talking about today?
Our ally of the week is our dear friend, Judy Shepherd. This week, Judy Shepherd, founder of the Matthew Shepherd Foundation, received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in acknowledgement of her almost 3 decades of service in support of the LGBTQ community. The Medal of Freedom is the nation's highest civilian honor presented to individuals who have made exemplary contributions to the prosperity, values, or security of the United States, world peace, and other significant societal, public, or private endeavors. Since her son Matthew was killed in an anti-gay hate crime in 1998, Judy and Dennis Shepherd Shepherd have dedicated their lives to social justice and championing their son's legacy to secure critical rights and inspire people to embrace dignity and equality for all people.
It's because of the examples set by people like Judy and Dennis that I will never give up fighting for equality on behalf of marginalized people.
And this is why Judy Shepherd is our ally of the week.
Congratulations to Judy Shepherd. Now on to our asshole of the week. Our asshole of the week is independent presidential candidate RFK Jr. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was added to the California ballot for the November 2024 presidential election after he affiliated with the American Independence Party on Monday. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the AIP, it is historically known for its strict anti-LGBTQ stances. AIP notably opposed marriage equality as recently as 2021, staunchly advocating that marriage should only be between a man and a woman.
When pressed on his own stance with respect to LGBTQ plus issues, Kennedy issued a tepid response, saying that he had no connection to the party's former position.
Without a spine, without family support, and without a snowball's chance in hell to win the presidential election this November, this is why RF Kennedy Jr. is our asshole of the week. Well, that's our show for today, folks. I want to thank today's guest, Nadine Mother Sister Herring, for joining us today. And of course, I got to thank my co-host, who's going on her mama's brunch, Lisette Trujillo, for being the amazing person that she is.
Steven, you know I couldn't do this without you. And of course, we couldn't do this without you, our listeners. So thanks for tuning in to the Parent Advocate Podcast.
And folks, please be sure to subscribe to our podcast and our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok, and do whatever you've got to do to stay up to date with everything we're doing here at the Parent Advocate Podcast. Bye.
Goodbye.
If you're thinking about harming yourself, get immediate support. Please reach out to the Trevor Project and connect to a crisis counselor 24/7, 365 days a year from anywhere in the United States. It's 100% confidential and 100% free. You can get help at thetrevorproject.org. If you'd like to support any of the organizations working actively to support LGBTQ people, please visit the ACLU at action.aclu.org or the Human Rights Campaign at hrc.org.
You've been listening to the Parent Advocate Podcast. Tune in again for another episode.